The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, my name is Naomi Lambert from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will share articles with you from The Assembly, which publishes in-depth reporting on North Carolina at theassemblync.com. Today, we're going to be starting with an article about education. NC schools that rely on international teachers brace for visa changes. And this article is by Heidi Perez Moreno, dated January 13th. Martin D. Miguel had been teaching high school chemistry in the Philippines, where he was born and raised for 5 years when he first considered moving to the United States in 2021. His friends encouraged him to apply for a J-1 visa, a cultural exchange program that allows international students and teachers to stay in the U.S. for up to 5 years. Miguel was soon on a 9,000-mile journey to rural southeastern North Carolina for his new job teaching science at East Columbus Junior Senior High School. Miguel, who was accustomed to big city life in Manila, struggled at first to settle into a slower pace. It was the first time he was away from his family, and he felt isolated. He thought several times about quitting, but he made friends in his neighborhood and connected with his colleagues and students. He was named the school's Emerging Educator of the Year in 2024. When his visa expires in June, Miguel plans to go home to the Philippines for at least 2 years. But he had hoped to come back to the U.S. after that to continue teaching here on another type of visa, an H-1B, which would create a path to becoming a permanent resident. Leaving would complicate that plan after the Trump administration announced last September it was increasing the fee for H-1B visas to $100,000. "It worries me, the chance that I won't be able to come back," said Miguel, 33. "I've tried my best to honor my visa and job as best I can. I've fallen in love with the community here, and I'm sad to leave this." Only teachers applying for an H-1B visa for the first time would be affected. People already in the U.S. who are attempting to move from a J-1 to an H-1B would not be subject to the fee. But that process has also become significantly harder, said Trey DeBrine, an attorney at Sivaraman Immigration Law in Carbera. "More of those applications have been delayed or denied," he said, "and while it used to be fairly easy to get a waiver to stay in the U.S. during the transition period between the two visas, that's no longer the case. And while it's technically possible to move from a J-1 to a green card," he said, "it's less common and more difficult." "It was so approvable that we would tell teachers if they wanted us to take the case, we can, but they shouldn't waste their money," he said. "We should just do it. They should just do it themselves because it was that much of a success rate." International teachers make up a small fraction of North Carolina's 90,000 public school educators. But advocates say they fill a crucial role, particularly in rural districts plagued by teacher shortages. In 2025, 213 H-1B visas were approved for K-12 educators in North Carolina, more for any other state in the nation except Texas, according to the National Education Association. Many more international teachers in the state, nearly 3,700, have J-1 visas, according to the 2024 data from the NC Department of Public Instruction. But education leaders say they worry the visa changes will deter foreign-born teachers from considering the U.S., which could leave schools scrambling. "We are continuing to make the process harder for our international educators to come to North Carolina and other states across the nation," said Tamika Walker Kelly, president of the North Carolina Association of Educators. "We continuously have vacancies that we can't fill, either by growing or recruiting educators here and within our state, or trying to recruit educators from out of state. But now we have the limitation of how we can recruit qualified educators from different countries." A band-aid on the problem. H-1B visas are also used in professions like technology and healthcare to attract qualified workers from abroad. Trump has said the new fee will prevent abuse of the program and encourage employers to hire American workers instead. North Carolina is among 20 states that sued the Trump administration over the visa changes in December, arguing that the Department of Homeland Security can't increase the fee without reason. The higher cost will hobble crucial research, lead to shortages in hospitals, and force schools to increase class sizes, the lawsuit argues. But a federal judge ruled several weeks later that the administration had not overstepped its authority. Employers typically pay the fees associated with H-1B visas, which for teachers used to cost between $5,000 and $12,000, DeBrine said. Legal fees can add thousands more to the bill. He said a $100,000 fee is exorbitant. Trump's proposed new fee is currently slated to last a year, and it's unclear whether that would be extended in the future, he said. Not a single school district can pay that, he said. Last year, the government approved 42 H-1B visas for Wayne County public schools, more than any other district in the state. Halifax County Schools brought in 16 new hires, and Nash County Public Schools got 13, according to the National Education Association. But in Halifax, international teachers are now the majority of educators in the district. 109 out of 156 teachers across 11 schools. A total of 75 have H-1B status, while the rest are here on J-1 visas. Rural districts have long struggled to recruit, hire, and retain educators. North Carolina ranks 43rd in the nation for teacher pay, according to the National Education Association. Between the low salaries, the rise of school shootings, the cost of college education and credentialing, and the general stress of the job, it's gotten harder to fill vacancies. Districts can't compete for teachers when all of our neighboring states have higher salaries, said Heather Coons, Director of Communications and Research at the nonprofit Public Schools First, NC. The problem is made worse in low-wealth areas where local governments don't have the funds to provide teacher salary supplements to bolster the persistently low state salaries. The new fee on international visas will be devastating. Carolyn Mitchell, Director of Human Resources for Halifax County Schools, said many local graduates who do go into education end up leaving the county for opportunities elsewhere. We may have tried to find a band-aid to find educators, but we are in an era where people just don't think about teaching the way they used to, said Mitchell. When I came in, you could see them almost a mile down the road, hanging around buildings trying to get into education because it was a secure job. Now you don't have anything to entice anybody. International teachers have been a salve in Halifax, which has a population of just 27,384. It's become increasingly difficult to find local teachers with the appropriate credentials that international hires already come with. A majority of the district students are minorities or speak Spanish at home, and so it's seen as a plus to bring in teachers from diverse cultures and create opportunities to learn about what's outside of the US. The district hopes to have educators able to teach Spanish at all of its schools, which is a harder qualification to find amongst their American-born applicants. The H-1B program has been especially attractive because teachers can stay in the US for a longer period of time and have the possibility of then obtaining a green card, meaning they can deepen their relationship with the school and students. It's so much less of a disruption and kinder to our students, Mitchell said. It is good for the school system and it's good for the community. The parents know them, the children know them. It's a very positive thing where we can get that to happen. Covering the $100,000 fee for each first-time H-1B visa application, however, is simply not an option. There's also the looming threat of further changes to international teacher programs under Trump, leading the district to wonder if they will have to stop pursuing new H-1B hires. Mitchell said her office has been having daily conversations with international teachers, concerned they might not be able to stay here for much longer. Many have been hesitant to travel outside of the US, fearing they might face complications in coming back, and are now trying to expedite their green card applications if they are eligible. Mitchell said the district typically worked with international teachers in the 3 to 4 months before their visas were set to expire to plan next steps, but they now start 6 months early due to the uncertainties. The district has also started paying an extra $2,800 in legal fees to expedite certain applications, hoping they can assist teachers and secure their statuses before anything else changes. Before you know it, the next new law comes down, and so the teachers are afraid, she said. They really are afraid. It is very frustrating not knowing from day to day what may happen next. Becoming part of the family. Some districts, including the state's largest, say they prefer to hire international teachers with J-1 visas sponsored by third-party organizations such as Educational Partners International and Global Teaching Partners, two North Carolina-based organizations that help connect teachers abroad with U.S. school districts looking to increase diversity or fill vacancies. Charlotte Mecklenburg Schools has nearly 300 teachers working on J-1 visas who fill vacancies with certified teachers who are content area experts, said spokesperson Tom Miner. Many of them teach high school math, English, science, elementary school, and exceptional children classes. The Cumberland County School District has 526 international teachers, more than any other in the state, according to the NC Department of Public Instruction. All of them are here on J-1 visas, said Ruben Reyes, the district's Associate Superintendent of Human Resources. H-1B programs are often about staffing, Reyes said. Our focus has been more on global education. The exchange program fits that a little better than the H-1B visa program does. Robeson County's public schools have 150 international teachers working on J-1 visas, according to the state. Nearly 40 work with the Multilingual Learner Program, and many arrived through EPI, said lead teacher Sandra Lopez-Greenfield. Miguel worked with EPI to secure his job in Columbus County. Like many international teachers, Miguel has an advanced degree. After completing his undergraduate studies at the Philippine Normal University, he earned a Master's of Science in Teaching with a major in Chemistry from De La Salle University in Manila. Miguel could still apply to transfer his J-1 visa to an H-1B visa, and his employers offered to help. But he has his heart set on returning to the Philippines for a bit to reconnect with his family and loved ones. Now that means he might be subject to a $100,000 fee. I would have to start all the way from the beginning, he said, and I don't know what the situation is going to look like when it's time for that. But he does know that schools like his in Columbus County need teachers like him. A lot of local American teachers are leaving schools because they don't feel like they earn enough, he said. We're helping to fill the gaps. We're not taking jobs from locals. For now, Miguel is weighing his options. He might consider teaching in Canada instead. Our next article is from Business and Economy, and it's Well, I'll Be Damned by Emily Cataneo, and it's dated January 8th. Bucky's, the mega gas station taking over the Southeast, is a feast for the senses. If Walmart, Wawa, Cracker Barrel and Bass Pro Shops jointly procreated, it still wouldn't amount to a Bucky's. It's a rest stop that people drive hours to visit, just for fun. It's a gas station with merch drops and famed brisket. It was founded in Texas in 1982 as a normal convenience store, but in the ensuing decades, it's become anything but. The stores spread first through the Lone Star State and then to Florida, Alabama, South Carolina, and Tennessee, gaining a cult following for their wares, ranging from gun cases to picture books, clean, plentiful bathrooms, dozens of gas pumps, garish red and yellow branding, and vast footprints. Bucky's Luling, Texas location is the largest convenience store in the world at 75,593 square feet. North Carolina is next as the Beaver expands his range. Bucky's first attempted to sink its teeth into Eflin, an unincorporated community in Orange County, but that plan collapsed under local opposition. The store revamped the idea and in 2021 announced its next location as Mebane. That too has attracted significant opposition from environmental groups concerned about the impact of a megastation and its giant underground tanks of gasoline on the surrounding low-income neighborhoods. Environmental justice advocate Christine Cavalier-Keck told Indy last year that she feared the long-term impact of Bucky's on the local community. "When the children get sick with cancer, that's when it's too late," she said. But the beaver gnaws on. Mebane City Council approved the project in 2024 and the store is slated to open in May 2027. Workers have already begun levelling and grading the 31-acre site at the intersection of I-40 and I-85. Bucky's elicits a lot of strong feelings, for better or worse. "It's a bit cult-like, but in a fun way," as one patron put it to me. "What is it about this beacon of late-stage capitalism that gets people so riled up?" I took a pilgrimage to the Florence, South Carolina store to find out. Leave it to Beaver. Originally, I planned to spend an entire 24 hours at Bucky's. This mission felt perfect for a site of such excess. It was also ideal for me, who wants to challenge myself to spend 12 hours inside a local mall because I was a bored, pre-driver's license rural teenager, and my best friend and I kept ourselves entertained through absurd feats. But Bucky's quickly derailed my vision for an officially sanctioned press visit. "We are going to politely decline your request," their press contact said via email. A follow-up inquiry about why elicited no response. I settled on a more reasonable goal. I'd spend 1 minute on the premises for every gas pump and 1 minute for every bathroom stall. Those would be 120 gas pumps and 54 bathroom stalls. This worked out to just under 3 hours, and while it's a good proxy for what's coming to NC, the Mebane location is going to be 20,000 feet bigger than Florence's. It was a chilly Wednesday in December, the sun flickering out from behind the clouds. The clean, expansive parking lot was bustling. People cycled in and out of the store, sometimes stopping to snap pictures with the bronze beaver statue that stands in front of every Bucky's in the nation. This wasn't my first Bucky's rodeo. I'd visited two in Texas, as well as the Sevierville, Tennessee location, which was particularly chaotic because it was full of Swifties on their way to the Eras tour, including myself. But this was my first time intentionally and truly absorbing all that Bucky's has to offer. My first thought upon crossing the threshold, I could spend a lot more than 3 hours here. Walking in felt like a roller coaster drop into a brightly lit, colorful, uncanny consumer paradise. You could buy so many products bearing Bucky's eager face. Frisbees, blankets, hair bows, coolers, a gas pump beverage dispenser, a tea towel reading "Don't wait for manana, try beaver nuggets today." The nuggets are another iconic Bucky's product. More on that shortly. It was almost Christmas, so you could buy a variety of beaver-emblazoned holiday pajamas, sweatshirts and T-shirts. At the edge of the merchandise section, a giant Bucky drove a Bucky-branded pickup truck whose bed was full of hundreds of smaller Buckys. For some customers, the merch is the point of the trip. Shannon Lake, who was visiting with her husband, lives in Fayetteville but travels a lot to see her grandkids. Any time she goes to Tennessee or Florida, she has to stop at Bucky's. She loves the bathrooms, the snack choices, the seasonal throw blankets. She has branded apparel for Christmas, Halloween, and Easter. "I will never stop at another gas station again," she declared, adding that she and her daughter have previously travelled to South Carolina for the sole purpose of shopping at Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's neophytes, too, are often impressed by the sheer variety in the clothing section. I found Anna Heroes, an NC State University student who was road tripping to Savannah. Heroes had an armful of clothing, a onesie for her cousin's baby, a subtle off-white shirt for her mom, a Bigfoot shirt for her dad. She was impressed that the shirts were crafted from natural fibers and by the intensity of the branding. "They've definitely done a lot with the chipmunk," she said. "It's a beaver," I whispered back. But Buc-ee's doesn't just sell Buc-ee's branded stuff. You can buy an impressive, if confusing, array of other items. Clothing from Grunt Style, fancy colanders, geode emblazoned ox skulls that'll set you back $400, cowhide rugs. You can get cast iron in there, which you can't get everywhere, said Rachel, a woman road tripping from Virginia to Florida with her best friend, who declined to give her last name. Something to chew on. The merchandise takes up the front half of the store at the Florence location. The back half is devoted to food, which is also a major draw. Half of the travellers I spoke to mentioned Buc-ee's brisket or its jerky, which takes up an entire wall display. They sell both turkey and beef jerky, flavoured with an array of spices. Hill Country, peppered bohemian garlic, steakhouse, sweet and spicy, ghost pepper. I don't eat meat unless it's seafood or bugs, so I missed out on this quintessential aspect of the experience. But Buc-ee's still had a lot to offer. I ate a surprisingly fresh container of cantaloupe, some horseradish-flavoured pickle chips that I would honestly love to eat again right now, and several different Buc-ee's branded candies, chamoy-flavoured peach rings, and a bag of assorted sours that reminded me of the farm stand sweets of my youth. Then there are those beaver nuggets, which are not meat, but puffed corn tossed in a brown sugar-based concoction. They come in 13-ounce bags that are, of course, emblazoned with everybody's favourite beaver. Beaver nuggets are popular. You can buy them for an insane markup of $13 on Amazon, compared to under $5 in the store. Many people I talked to enthused about them, and an employee who saw me browsing jumped in and counselled me to try the original flavour, rather than cinnamon sugar or bold and spicy. I didn't love them. They tasted like extreme kettled corn, and each bite made me feel worse about myself. And yet, I couldn't stop eating them. And I also kind of wish I could eat them right now. Several of the people I met during my afternoon spoke about executing dangerous traffic manoeuvres to make the exit for the store. Greensboro couple Gloria and Zoe Smith were travelling to Florida for a Christmas cruise to the Bahamas when Gloria saw the beacon on I-95. Zoe had never been, so they veered through three lanes of traffic to buy Buc-ee's Christmas pajamas for karaoke night on the cruise, plus a shot glass and some jerky. "There's something for everybody," Gloria raved. Another first-timer, Angela Morehouse, said she was amazed. She was already planning a return trip to do her Christmas shopping for jackets, sweaters, and Western decor. "There's anything you want in there," Morehouse said, handing me a candied pecan to try. For all the fun and kitsch, Buc-ee's does offer something serious to travellers, a sense of safety. Several women I spoke to mentioned the well-lit, crowded parking lots and clean, secure bathrooms as a major plus when travelling alone, unlike the oft-deserted south of the border, several exits north, a large portion of which is now up for sale. Justin Mack, a cowboy hat-wearing electrician from Aberdeen, North Carolina, who travels all around the southeast for work, said that Buc-ee's makes his job a lot faster. It's a one-stop shop for gas, snacks, a cigar and bathrooms, where his service dog, Petey, won't eat anything disgusting. Toward the end of my visit, I started to fall into a daze that made me glad I wasn't staying for the whole day. I was both wired and drowsy from the snack food, the bright lights, the Christmas music, the intense colours, much like how I felt after my 12 hours in the mall. I was also glad because despite everything Buc-ee's offers, it has no customer seating of any kind. Outside, as a car alarm blared right next to us, I spoke with the first Bucky's naysayer I'd encountered. Mark Rebovich, a New Jerseyan who travels to Savannah several times a year, said he and his wife usually stop at this Bucky's. "The first time you go, you say, 'My God, this is fantastic,'" said Rebovich. "The second time, 'This is good.' Then it's okay. Then it's, 'Okay, do we have to stop at Bucky's?'" He can understand why some North Carolinians don't want the megastore on their territory. There's a lot going on. And yet, as I pointed out, he'd stopped on this trip. "I'm addicted to the banana pudding," he admitted. Another car alarm joined the ongoing cacophony of the first, and I complained about the noise. "I should have expected it," Rebovich told me. "You're at Bucky's," he said. "You don't know what's going to happen next." Not long after, I said my goodbyes to the truly very clean bathrooms and hopped in my car to head back north. I drive an electric car, and they also offer on-site charging, but that means I didn't get to try out the gas pumps. As I crossed the border and the Bucky's haze lifted from my brain, I started to feel a bit bad about how hard I'd fallen for the store. The North Carolina Environmental Justice Network recently released a study on the harm caused by places like Bucky's. Living near a gas station increases the chance of childhood leukemia. Underground gas storage tanks can leak, permanently damaging soil and water. Huge gas stations also depress local property values. They're easy to love when you're just passing through, but can be distressing and dangerous for the people who have to live next door. These are the kind of problems I usually bemoan. Knowing that, why did I and so many others still find Bucky's delightful? As I pondered this question, I realized I disagreed with Rebovich. Bucky's isn't beloved because anything could happen there. It's venerated because once you've been to a Bucky's, you know exactly what you're going to get. You'll find wild products, wacky foods, brass beaver statues, and you are guaranteed to pretty much find the same ones everywhere across a growing swath of the nation. The store promises whimsy and ecstatic, campy consumerism. As I was reporting this story, I saw a meme featuring a picture of the Bucky's mascot with the caption, "In thousands of years, archaeologists will think we worshipped a brass beaver." And the thing is, they'd be right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed those two longer articles today, slightly sort of different content. And we've run out of time for the rest of today's episode of The Assembly. I really hope you've enjoyed it. Please be sure to tune in next time. I'm Naomi Lambert for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This broadcast is now available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time, and if you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.